You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, 16th anniversary of the events on September 11th, 2001. And here's another guy who had his life incredibly impacted by the events of those days. The gunner joins us, Mike Musselman. Where were you September 11th?
I was sleeping in my bed in Tustin, California, working with 1st Light Honor Reconnaissance Battalion. And like I said, the wife woke me up and said, "Hey, check this out. They just said a commuter plane or a small plane crashed into the World Trade Center." And I woke up and I looked at the TV screen and there was a fire burning out of a hole. And I looked, and I'd been to the World Trade Center. And so I looked at it and I said, "That ain't a commuter plane. That's a commuter plane too small. That's a commercial airliner or something. It's got to be a big plane." She's like, "Ah." And then right then, they panned out, and I saw the other plane come in and strike the second tower. And I looked at her and said, "That's an attack." She's like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, we're under attack." And then, yeah, and then I drove to work, and, man, it was, you know, it was day on, stay on for a while. We did a lot of planning, a lot of training. And, you know, and then eventually, yeah, we got the order to execute our deployment, and the rest was history, man.
Wow. No. where did you get the order to execute? Are you talking about Iraq, or are you talking about, did you go to Afghanistan?
No, that was Bravo Company with Mattis. That was part of the MEB. And Bravo Company LER went to the Afghanistan with those guys.
Yeah, I was at the battalion. I was the battalion master gunner at the time, man.
I just
left Bravo Company.
How did you not get attached to Bravo Company, man?
They were already on the float. They were already out in the water when September 11th happened.
So they took the debt, and did they plus up the debt?
Yeah, they plus it up with
the East Coast News that came out with remember the East Coast News to deploy with platoon. Heavy platoons of LAR.
Right.
And we deploy with companies. And then, so they got plussed up with the, whatever, the 22 Mu, 24 Mu, 26 Mu, whatever Mu it was. And then they went into Karachi, or a guy in Pakistan, and then flew into, the airport there in, I can't remember. And, the main airport. Kandahar. And then they secured Kandahar.
Wow. Wow. How much did, as you look back, Mike, it was interesting. Mike Pence spoke, I don't know if you saw it, but Mike Pence spoke, a little bit ago. He was in the Capitol. Yeah. He was in the Capitol. And he tells this story about, he was a congressman from Indiana, right? They got the congressmen that were there together, and they said, "There's a plane that's inbound to the Capitol. According to its flight trajectory, it'll be here in 12 minutes." And he said, with that, they were, you know, told to get to the shelter.
Exactly.
You know, and he said, and we waited there, and 12 minutes went by, and nothing happened. And we knew that the Pentagon had been struck. And then we heard that the plane went down in Pennsylvania. And then he kind of walked through the actions of the people. He said, you know, what did he say? He said, this is personal for me. He said, because, you know, I went home that night to my family. And these people on this plane that took such heroic actions, they didn't. And in many ways, okay. He said, I owe my life to these people, possibly.
Right.
And he said, so it's important that I was here today and blah, blah, blah. But very cool speech. Very cool speech. His son, right, Lieutenant in the Marine Corps, I would tell you, is probably growing up around his dad, very impacted by the both wars and being involved in funerals and different things that he saw growing up. So it's when you look back, and even the commercial I play, you know, from the Semper Fi Society and Bob Nielsen with Turner Construction getting guys jobs, the Semper Fi Society grows up as a under the Blue Diamond of the 1st Marine Division, trying to help people pay bills to go see people in the hospital, to go to funerals, you know, different things. That's how that thing grows up, and now it's an incredibly great charity. And the same thing that Bob did with 100 entrepreneurs, helping guys find career in construction, helping them start businesses and things like that. So it's crazy the way that thing has rippled. I was talking about my two sons would never be in the Marine Corps, I don't think. You know, I get brought back on active duty, and then they meet my friends. And, you know, for young guys, that's incredibly intoxicating. You know, my, and again, for people that don't know, my friends aren't normal human beings.
They're kind of superheroish.
No, they're really funny, right? They're self-deprecating. They're funny, but they're tough. And, you know, a lot of them are, they won't tell you this, but a lot of them are war heroes. And my sons both read, a book about a guy you have never met here on the radio, but we know him. His name's Chris Bronzy. The book is called what, Joker One? And one of Chris Bronzy's platoon commanders wrote it. And Chris isn't, I'll be kind and say he doesn't care for the book. But in it, he taught that, you know, he's Joker Six in it. And Chris Bronzy's he's a stud. He's a baller. And what they did out in the heart of darkness in Ramadi that year, with not a whole lot of aviation support or any other kind of support, every day getting it on with the bad guys was incredible. And so your kids meet these guys, and it changes their lives. And so, Mike, what's the greatest way it changed your life?
9/11.
Yeah, and your life and the life of your family. I mean, so in your greater life, what's the big?
I don't know. I you know, people have asked me that, and I say to people, I say, how do you know? You know, when people say, "Oh, this changed my life," I say, "How do you know?" And they're like, look at me, like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Did you live the other life to know what it would have looked like had you not done that?" And they're like, "No." I said, "How do you know it changed your life?" I said, "The true word is, what did effect did it have on your life? From where you were at that point, because my life didn't change. I was still a Marine. I was married. I had a child. I had a job. It didn't change. My deployments didn't go up, you know, anymore. They were, but because I expected that kind of stuff, you know. So what the effect was, you know, you're always prepared. You're always trying to, prepare yourself for combat and conflict, and then when you get there, it's nothing like even the stories or anything or the training or anything else, and then even the preparation for the complete boredom, you know. And it, what, like I said, what affected me was the fact that I think that the part that made me the most, it made me angry, because guys like Bronzy's platoon commander that wrote a book, guys were looking to make a name for themselves. There were people out there that were fabricating stories and making books and making money off the war. That pissed me off. There were people out there that were doing things to make themselves, promote their own lives. You know, like I said, like the story I told you when we were in Blue Diamond, and everybody kept coming to me like, hey, can I get a ride with you guys? I just want to go out there and into the Ville and see what it's like. And you're like, shut up. You know, what? The Ville? I want to go out there on the combat patrol with you and get into the shit with the enemy. You're like, what? Get into the shit? Here, I'll shit on you. And there you're in the shit. I mean, I don't get it. That's what pissed me off. And I saw in True Colors people come out. You know, and it was like, and, you know, then I saw people that, you know, it puts you in a perspective of either you were prepared to be a Marine and execute your job, or you were just faking the funk. And what I found out was there were a lot of guys that were in uniform that were just faking the funk. You know? They were just there for the meal ticket, and then when it came down to it, they couldn't perform. And that pissed me off. And then I realized then that, okay, hey, just because you're in the uniform doesn't mean that you are one. And, you know, and like you said, Mac, you run into guys like Bronzy and all those other guys. You know, those guys were true war heroes. They did great things. And not enough credit was given to them. The credit was given to the people that jumped into the spotlight.
The book writers.
In most cases. Yeah, in most cases, weren't even there. It's a secondhand story. They're just telling it the way they heard it.
Right.
You know? And that, it aggravates the shit out of me. You know, you still see guys today. You know, like I said, I had a guy in LER write a book right after we got done. He wrote this book, and man, he's like, you know, this Prince Sultan type of the desert, you know, type of warrior, you know, always dashing and, you know, just like, dude, you know, you were a clown. You should have been fired. You were incompetent. The only reason you got to be in command was you checked in first before someone else. That's all it was, man. The other captain, and you know, and Mac, this is a true story. So these captains were graduating school, and I'm not going to use names.
Okay.
And they're graduating. I think it was still AWS at the time. You know, and so they were leaving Quantico, and they were all buddies, and they were all going to the same unit, three captains, okay? Well, they had called ahead and found out through the XO that there were going to be two company commanders' jobs, and one guy was going to the three shop, okay? So they told each other, hey, because they were buddies, and they didn't want to screw each other over, and they said, hey, dude, let's make a pact right now. Let's all shake on this that we will all check in on the same date. No one goes early. No one does any bullshit. And then wherever the cards fall. And they were like, yeah, we agree. Except the one guy. The one guy said, yeah, I agree. And as soon as they packed their bags in Quantico, he flew in and checked in early and got the company command, the first company command.
Whoa. You know, that's a Bushido violation, Mike.
Dude, that's the kind of guy that, you know, that you read about in World War II that his own platoon threw grenades into his hooch, you know. But nothing was said, nothing was done. His buddies were like, oh, okay, all right. We see what, you know, True Colors just came out.
Right.
And so, that's, I mean, but.
That's not a color you want to show anybody, though, but. No, it's part
but
of
the
it.
The Marine Corps, to me, I realized that the Marine Corps didn't reward you for proficiency like it says it does. It didn't reward guys that deserved to be rewarded. It rewarded people that could dance in the spotlight. That's what it showed. If you could nail down a dance and make sure that spotlight was on you, you were getting rewarded. The true guys that did most of the heavy lifting will never get the recognition that they deserve. You know? And that's what I think affected me the most, was really kind of like, wow, okay. This is not what I expected. I can go on from this, but I'm really disappointed.
Right.
I thought it was a whole lot more.
Right. Well, you know, but you know this to be true, Mike. One of the interesting things is you run in packs, I hope I say this right because one thing that happens is you know guys, and when you don't know somebody, what do? You pick up the phone and you talk to your buddies and you say, "Hey man, does anybody know this guy?
Can anybody vouch for him?"
Yeah, and so you
right now.
You know guys, and the only way that you know them is it's like if Mike tells me so and so is a good dude, right? Then I don't need anything else. Hey, your Musselman says you're good to go. You're good to go. And so
that doesn't always work. And I was burned many times on that. And here's
then you don't have the yeah. Give me one. If you told me a guy's a good guy, and is that guy gonna screw me?
If Mike yes. Musselman said to you, "This is a good guy,"
yes,
99.9% of the chances are he's a good dude,
right?
Because I was not the first guy to talk to you. I would watch you. I would look at you. I'd look at it how you at the questions that you asked, not how you answered questions, but what questions did you ask. Was to me the most important. That showed me your intelligence level. It showed me what kind of drive you had, determination, where you were, the questions that you asked. So we were at division, and this guy checks in, major or lieutenant colonel, I can't remember, and no one knew him. So we called, checked on him, you know, like, "Hey, who is this guy?" So we found a respected guy that we all knew, and he said, "Oh, yeah, man, I went to college with this guy. And then I went to PBS with this guy." Now, granted, they're lieutenant colonels now. And we said, "Well, hey, you served with this guy since then?" "No." "But, hey, man, in TBS, he was the best guy ever. And in college, he was the funniest, greatest, best friend ever."
Yeah, whatever.
The guy's in college because he's your best friend just means that, you know, he's stupid with you and gets in the car with you and you're both drunk and you want to go drive home. That doesn't mean he's a great guy. It means he's got flawed bullshit just like you do. All right, so we kind of, okay, we accept this. He turns out to be a huge douchebag. You know, and finally I ran into this colonel, the other lieutenant colonel, and I said, "Man, your buddy is a tool." He's an asshole. And he was like, "What? Are you kidding me?
What?
Are you kidding? No, no, not him." I'm like, "Dude, he is. You're just the problem is you're a bad judge of character. And you surround yourself with douchebags. So to him, to you, yeah, he's a good dude." "Oh, Gunner, come on." And then later on, he's like, "Yeah, now I see what you're talking about. He is a douche."
But our friends tend not to be like that so much. I mean, if our friends tell you that somebody's good to go, I mean, because most of the time with our friends, what you'll hear is, "I don't know the dude well enough."
Bronzy would always give you because Bronzy would never say anything bad about anybody. Bronzy couldn't even tell you, he couldn't say anything bad about the devil himself. He would just say something like, "You know, I'm not a big fan, I don't follow him." You know, Bronzy's one of those guys, like you said, not a mean bone in his body. So when you ask Bronzy about a guy, and he'd kind of give you this smirk, hesitation, and he'd kind of give you that, and then you knew right away, no matter what he said after that, this guy's an idiot. Okay, got it. And then, you know, of course, Bronzy, you're like, "Oh, so he's an idiot." And, "No, no, that's not what I'm saying." "No, it's not what you said. It's what you did say."
Exactly.
"That we all kind of know." Yeah.
No, and so so to me, it's, and because they're, our friends are great, and again, what you're asking about normally is serious stuff. You know, you're looking for a guy to go down and do this, and it's an important job. Yeah, and there's
need everybody to pull on the tug of war to win.
Yeah,
everybody
in the same direction.
Yeah. In the same motion.
That's why when you hear us talk about the guys, our guys in Afghanistan, it was like stud city. It was like the New York Yankees, the 1927 New York Yankees running around. You know,
full that it was not like the New York Yankees.
It was. He doesn't want to say that because he's a Red Sox fan.
You could have used a neutral team. Just said the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay, it was kind of like the Big Red Machine back in the day. I mean, honestly, it was Chris Bronzi's a Silver Star winner, and he went there because he joined us late. He goes there as an information ops guy, and it's like, are you kidding me? And then we get a guy named Trent Gibson, who's another Bronze Star winner. Yeah, he's a Bronze Star recipient from the fight. But, I mean, they're selfless, smart, tough professionals, ballers. I mean, that we would look around and say, that dude's a baller. And we had them all over the place. It was awesome. And the great part is when they said, "Hey man, I got it." You knew that they would take care of it. You knew they would touch all the wires. You knew that they would inform everybody and then come back and say, "Hey man, that thing's put to bed." That's the kind of professionals they were. They were great professional combat Marines. And not one bit of ego or vanity in them.
And you never had to execute the S and BAMSIS. That was the only time.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was cool.
The only guy who had a little bit of vanity, and you haven't met him yet, you will when he retires, his name's Luke McConnell. I was walking into work one day, and he was outside. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "My wife told
me." I haven't met him?
No, the listeners haven't met him. He's outside, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said,
"Sunday then.
Are you getting some sun?" And he's like,
"Yeah."
"Yeah, my wife told me I look really pale." I'm like, "Yeah?" I'm like, "What are you, Fabio or something?" And so,
no, Luke McConnell, man.
So I called him Fabio for a few months. In fact, I'll still call him. I was in a store. I was in like Whole Foods and in Irvine, and there's this big cutout of Fabio. Lifelike size thing of Fabio. So I took a picture standing next to it. I had Colleen take my picture and send it to him. I'm like, "Yo, bro, what's up?" He's like,
"Luke, I found you."
"Luke, I found you." But, yeah, we got on that little rant from how's your life been changed. All right, let me take a break. When I come back, there's something else you want to talk about, yes?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that. More of the one and only Mike Musselman on the Mike Musselman Show here on a Monday edition of it right here on All Musselman Radio.
Okay. All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Forty on the West Coast, 11:40 Central Time, where the gunner is. We continue here on a Monday. Here's an email for you.
Yeah.
Mac, listening, it is pretty interesting to hear you guys reminisce about how the events of this day 16 years ago impacted all of you. You probably don't even realize the different way that this thing has rolled through your lives. The multiple combat deployments, the impact on your family, and the impact on you guys physically. It's really a treat to listen to you guys. I retired from the Marine Corps in the mid-70s after my time in Vietnam, and then came home and found All Marine Radio funny and enjoyable, because you guys don't seem to be too hung up on yourselves, even though you give each other a lot of grief about it. I've been thinking about how Vietnam impacted my life, and it changed me forever. Some of it not very good, and I try to keep that stuff hidden. But I do believe, when I look back on my life, it had an overall positive impact on me. It made me a different, better person. It made me more sensitive to other people and what they go through. I'm not nearly as judgmental as I used to be. Thanks for the show. Keep up the good work. A fellow Texan welcomes Gunner to the state, and the cowboy bandwagon is a big bandwagon. Welcome aboard. Oh man. All right. Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. It's interesting the way your life does change. Okay, so Mike, you had something you wanted to talk about. What?
Oh no, you know, again, I was talking to a buddy of mine that I'd served with, you know, multiple times in the Marine Corps. Staff NCO, senior staff NCO, and gets out, retires, and then, what he has to go through, through the whole process of, the VA. Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And then uncalled for.
When you mean crazy, you mean crazy, not in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, like, why does someone have to, you know, for example, he suffered a back injury in combat,
right,
and goes on, does his thing, and gets out, and then goes to the VA. Well, the VA comes back and says, well, we don't recognize your back injury that was due to active duty. And, you know, this whole thing, and it was like, what? What about, you know? And then he goes and pays out of his own dime for an MRI, which shows then that basically he has very little, if not any, you know, spinal fluid left in his spine because of this injury. And now he's going to go to the VA and fight this. And it's, you know, I ponder, you know, it's like, what in the world is going on? I don't get it. Why are we still, you know, everything, the VA classified him as obese. He's 6'2", weighs 235 pounds, and he's a bodybuilder.
Yeah, obese.
That's obese.
Yeah, obese.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the reason why his back hurt. You know, and he has to fight that now. He has to fight that actual ruling. You know, that's what's crazy to me, dude. I cannot get through that.
But you know, Mike, the that whole fight, I had John Boyd on the program, and he said, you know, you don't give up, and you got to fight. There's people that'll help you fight, and so it didn't get documented. Okay, so go get the documents. What? Go find the corpsman, find other Marines that were there, and have them write statements, and that validates what you. And I was like, you can still do that? He was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
He said, and to be honest with you, it's easier than ever with the advent of Facebook and social media. He said, you know, LinkedIn. He said, you can find just about anybody on the planet. There's not too many people that don't do any of it. Or you can find a buddy of theirs and run them down through a good buddy. And he said, look, I know because I've done it. He said, I put together packages to fight at the highest level of the VA. Guys committed suicide. They did not even fill out their death beneficiary stuff for their families when they transitioned. And so their families were going to get nothing. And what they died from was a brain injury because of 9 different concussions from IEDs. And so how could they be in their right mind? This was a full-up round, dependable human being. He commits suicide after he takes his family to Idaho so that they won't be killed when the Russians and ISIS overtake the country. Does that sound like a sane guy to you? And you're going to deny his family their death benefits because he didn't fill out this form? Give me a break. And he won. And so pretty interesting stuff. And again, for anybody who's listening that has friends that are going through it, if you have to fight the VA, there are lawyers and law schools all over the country that will represent you pro bono, free. And the list is on, go to the All Marine Radio website and click on show notes and you'll see the list there. And give it to your friends, and go fight for what's yours. And sometimes, as Mike said, you know, we'd like the VA to be one thing, but the bottom line is VA is a group of people. Some are really good at what they do. Some struggle. And when you bump into somebody that struggles, fight for what you deserve, for what you've earned in your life. And don't take no for an answer just because somebody said no. Screw them. So, anyway, my two cents anyway. But,
yeah,
there is no one VA. There's like a whole bunch of VAs around the country. And your experience depends on who you deal with in your local VA. And if they're not up to snuff, then trust me, it is not a good experience.
I know.
Not a good experience. Okay, look.
Which is amazing to me, bud. I mean, again, if you got the name Veterans Administration on your name, you'd think that you would be helping the veterans. You think your job would be, you know, helping veterans find, closure to the injuries and stuff that they're suffering. Not, you know, when you got to go to the VA with a lawyer, there's a problem, dude. When you have to have a lawyer, you have to hire a lawyer to represent you. There's an issue.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, because I thought the Veterans Administration was created to support veterans of the United States. You know, not the other way around. That we had to prove, this is like the whole prove your innocence thing.
Right. No, it certainly seems that at times. And I know, look, I know they're doing a, I know they're trying hard, but again, dependent on who you bump into on and where they sit, you know, there was all that stuff made about, you know, the VA being able to get rid of people. And one of the guys they said that, you know, should have gotten rid of was terminated, and then they had to bring him back because of something, you know, and so it's just like, come on, man. And you wonder why the care sucks. So, and not sucks everywhere, but sucks in the places that it sucks at. Because you have people that suck, and they're protected by a system that shouldn't protect them. And so it's as Mike said, pretty frustrating when you see guys that really, really need help and aren't getting it. And your heart goes out to them. Let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, the last time I heard Gunner, he was talking about going to the hospital. Can you give us an update? And now he comes back on like nothing happened. What the hell, man? Yeah, what the hell, man?
Well,
what happened?
You get better.
I know, but nitroglycerin, that's like serious shit.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
And then you come on and say it. Hey, Mike Musselman with us. How you doing, Gunner? I didn't have a great night. What, migraines? No, I thought I was having a heart attack. And then me. Hey, you know we're on the air, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
What, are you just sharing with the fucking group all of a sudden? And the answer to that was yeah. The answer to that was yeah.
Yeah.
So what, you have no idea what it was?
No, I go back to the doctors, find out, and then work through this and see what's going on. So.
All right. So now what does it do when you give us a
schedule? I'm not even going to bring that. This Thursday, I'm there. But yeah, and this is one of the things. Imagine bring this up to the VA. You're like,
not yet. It's not time for that. Yeah. I don't think it's that time for that. I think later on we go and we deal with that.
Yeah.
Right, and then let's see. Yankees got closer to the Red Sox, 3.5 games now. You watch any football? Your Cowboys won. I'm not sure what your Vikings did.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't watch any football.
You didn't watch any football? What did you do?
Really? No, I'm going to start watching. It's like, this is the first season. I mean, football just opened, so I'll get into it. Yeah. And like I said, I'm tired and weak, so now I'm going to work it out. So.
Okay. All right. Another email. Hey, Mac, I'd be curious about the Gunner's thoughts. I was listening to Master Guns Ubaldi talk about what went on in Florida, and I agree. I think Florida's done about as good as you could do in terms of activating units, getting things pre-staged, and the governor was on all the time giving them updates. I would give them very high marks. I guess we'll see what they'll do in the aftermath, and Houston has certainly done great stuff in the aftermath. Gunner, have any thoughts on that? Yeah, Mike, we were talking about that earlier. But Florida, I mean, I thought they've done really well.
Yeah, they've done really well. You know, and we'll see. You know, it's easy to stage for a disaster and get everything ready. The hard part is executing. So now they're in the execution mode. So now we'll see, you know, and I just wish that everything works out and they don't have any hiccups and, you know, no problems. You know, but this is one of those things that doesn't matter how much the government's there for you. You don't wait for the government. The real truth behind this will be how much does the Florida people bond together and work together to help each other out of this. That's what really helps.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's the stuff that you saw in Texas. That's hopefully what you see in Florida is people volunteering the boats, everything coming, they're doing all this stuff and, you know, people bringing down truckloads of water. We had people up here buying that go to all the big Sam's Clubs or Costco and buy trailers or U-Haul trailers they'd rent out of their own pocket with all these supplies and drive it down.
Right.
And just drop it off and go, here you go.
No, I was reading the other day about people from North Dakota bought water, put it on a pallet. The farmer said he'd pay for the gas. And and it was like, yeah, send that truck on its way. And then they said, wow, that was easy. Let's do it again. And they were working on their second truckload of water. So, you know, again, but Mike, you and I aren't surprised. That's America at its best. You know, in spite of the things
we've
seen.
But the sad thing is it takes a natural disaster for America to come
to. Well, otherwise, we're just living our lives. You're just, you know, you're doing your thing, living in Granbury, hanging out with Ralph and the boys.
Yeah, but. That's just it. When the world's got to get bonded together through natural disaster, you know, what we need is an alien invasion. Like I said, what we need is an extermination level type of disaster. That'll really put us together. We'll bond. We'll get together as a nation. But we need a world extermination type of event.
I got a couple more emails. Here's one. One about John McCain made some pretty serious comments about the Navy on I think the CNN over the weekend. But here's one. Minnesota plays tonight. More importantly, the Packers beat the Sea Chickens. Yeah, not a peep out of Rudy over the weekend. Our boy Rudy, Kurt Knowles, our F-18 explainer, he was pretty quiet Sunday. That means the Seahawks got pounded by the Packers, which won't make him happy. The email goes on. St. Louis Cardinals are only two games behind the Cubbies, hoping for some October baseball in St. Louis. That's another great rivalry. The Cubs and the Cardinals, they hate each other forever. And both of them were on their ass at the start of the season, too. So they both come back. And so hopefully that'll be awesome because that's a good hate event. Let's see. One more. Mac,
I didn't think that the Packers would pull that one out, by the way.
You did not?
No, because the Seahawks were kicking their ass, man.
I didn't watch. I was watching the 49ers get their ass kicked by Carolina. Here's the other email. Mac McCain did blister the Navy. He talked about how they've been a service in decline for a long time now. You should get the audio clips. I'd be curious to hear your comments about McCain and also about Banyan's interview. Maybe tomorrow, ? You know what? That's probably not a bad idea for a show. McCain's audio but you know what? I was reading there was a subcommittee in Congress that Navy officials, I want to say the vice CNO, testified in front of. And and they asked him straight up about different reasons for the number of accidents. And there's been four total, not in a year, okay? There have been four total in 8 months, okay? And culminating in the McCain in August. One, I want to say, was right at the start of February, and that was the USS Antietam running aground in Tokyo Bay. The next one was the USS Champlain, and that happened at 10 in the morning. The USS as it was attempting to anchor, the USS Champlain running into a 70-foot Korean fishing vessel at noon off the coast of Korea. The third one was obviously the Fitzgerald getting hit, and then by a container ship, and then the fourth one was the McCain. And when asked about it, the vice CNO said there's no excuse, which was refreshing. No matter what our operational tempo is, no matter what else we're doing in the Navy, we should be able to drive ships safely.
Right.
And that's, to me, the start of the rejecting any type of excuse is the beginning of taking your face shot, tightening your belt, and correcting what needs to be corrected. And you have to give those guys credit for that, because the instinct would be, you know, to come up with all kind of mitigating factors. But the bottom line is, you know, there is no excuse for it, and we know that. So I found that to be refreshing. But I'll tee up some of that audio, and we can talk about it. We can talk about it tomorrow. What okay. else is what's on the agenda for tomorrow for the rest of the day?
Not much, Matt. Just hanging out, getting some stuff done.
That's it?
Yeah, just getting some shit done, getting some stuff done in the house.
What about the what about an update on the Corsair?
I didn't touch that again. I gotta get this.
That thing's collecting dust.
Sad. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it. Did I say anything was wrong with it?
It's tough, man. It's not easy.
It's not easy. All right. First of all, good to talk to you. Hope you had a good weekend. And I'll tee up some of that audio, and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, bud. That is Michael Musselman here on a Monday. Be mindful, though, of what today is, and that is the 16th anniversary. And so as we exit today, a little bit of a salute to our comrades that have fallen, the memorial service we've attended, and this is how we do it, especially a salute to the brave people of Flight 93, who went down on a field in Pennsylvania, to all the people that have lost their lives in connection with the events that began to unfold on this date 16 years ago. First responders who died from the chemicals that they inhaled, not only that day, but, you know, in their work days after. The casualties that we suffered, killed, wounded, and otherwise, both there and then those killed after they've come home and can't really handle life because of what they've seen. It's also dedicated to the families that have supported all of that. And in many cases, so unfair that they bear such a heavy burden and they didn't sign up for it. So with that in mind, this is how we do it. Tomorrow we'll get another update probably from John Ubaldi, and this just in from the Associated Press. Hurricane Irma power outages climbed to more than 7 million homes, businesses in several states. The majority of those outages are in Florida. We're lucky we got to talk to Ubaldi. But this is how we do it. And so this is dedicated to everybody who's had their life changed in some way since September 11th. The first song that you'll hear, it's called Eternal Father. We sing it at memorial services. You'll hear a ceremonial rendition of the Marine Corps hymn, And Eternal Father, the second verse is that's sung here by the Naval Academy Choir, is dedicated to the Marine Corps. And it is Eternal Father, strong to save both all Marines, both night and day. The courage, honor, strength, and skill. And I can't remember the next line. So here is when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. So you'll hear the, and I'll get the right words. Those weren't the right words for the Marine Corps verse, but it has about 80 verses. But this one has the Marine verse included in it. And then the Marines hymn slowly in a ceremonial fashion, and then taps with the 21-gun rifle salute. So if you don't care for Eternal Father because it makes you cry, and the same thing with taps, you got time to bail out right now. Other than that, this is dedicated for everybody who's had their lives changed in the last 16 years. And also, I know there's a fair number of Vietnam veterans. Your example is what I grew up with. And so God bless you all. And this is dedicated to you too. The verse goes like this: Eternal Father, grant, we pray, to all Marines, both night and day, the courage, honor, strength, and skill, their land to serve, thy law fulfill. Be thou the shield forevermore from every peril to our core. So that is the Marine verse in Eternal Father. And if you've never heard it before, the lead verse is Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. O, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. And the Navy has been singing that forever. And so we have our own verse that we throw in there, and so that's the way we do it. And what you just heard is what the guys you've heard on this program, many of them, I'm sure didn't listen, because there's a lot of bad memories associated with that. And then out of that, what happens is you walk out of those memorial services and away from those funerals. At least the guys that you heard, that my friends, more resolute than ever to be better, dedicated to somebody who's given their life. It's not a theoretical event. It's a real world event that you live, right? Making sure that the family's taken care of, and then you tighten your chin strap and you go find who killed them, and you kill them. And you run down every bit of intel to find out who helped them, and you kill them or capture them. And so that 10 days after, you know, the event happens, and we have our memorial service, maybe you can stand there with some measure of satisfaction in that whoever did this to one of our comrades no longer walks the face of the earth. And that's the sad reality of what's gone on the last 16 years. So we're going to take a break. The show repeats itself momentarily. Don't touch that dial. My thanks to John Ubaldi for coming on from Tampa this morning. Obviously, the Gunner, good to know that he's feeling better. And I know a number of people asked me about him this morning. You got to hear it out of his mouth. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.